going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we welcome you to another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdaw, C70. It's Bat at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, is Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Red Bird and A Medlock 1 on Twitter. Here we are, the 1st of May, and still no baseball, and still no baseball necessarily on the horizon. Although, you know, Alan, as we kind of said earlier, feels like every day something is coming out. There's, you know, whether it's a new plan or, you know, we heard about the umpires today and things we'll talk about, but if nothing else, we don't seem to have the complete doldrums of there's absolutely nothing going on like we had earlier in the year.
Yeah, no, at least there's enough smoke at this point to think that there's going to be, yeah, that we're going to find fire at the end of that at some point. Yeah, it seems like a little bit of hope. I think that may be the change of weather as well. And change how that some parts of the country are looking a little bit better. I think of all the plans that we've heard, and, you know, starting in Arizona, then starting in the two states, starting in the three states, you know, last week when we had read that there was upwards to 10 to 12 states that may be involved in this, it sounded like they were getting closer and closer to saying, okay, some of these home ballparks are going to be able to be used. And if you can spring training in your home ballpark and go from there, that makes a little bit more sense. So now it seems like some of these things are a lot more feasible and practical than some of those early plans, and that's a good sign. So let's just see how things improve this week, and it sounds like they're shooting for something end of June, 1st of July, which you and I have talked about at length before. That was probably a pretty good timeline if it didn't start at the 1st of June, and still gives us a little bit of time, and still gives you the ability to put in close to 100 games a season and be creative in the way that you do things. And sounds like there's some ideas that are flying around, and it sounds like we're getting closer to some concrete information on those.
How long do you think it'll take them to get a plan in place? I mean, again, they're talking about it. I'm sure they're kind of sketching stuff out, but I mean, like, if they announced tomorrow, you know, this is what we're going to do, how long do you think it'd take? I mean, would it be like 2 weeks before they'd send them to spring training, and then, you know, 2 or 3, 4 weeks spring training, whatever?
I would say you would probably have to give probably 7 to 10 days fluff factor to travel to a spring training site. And then probably your 18 to 24, 3 weeks days of spring training and get ready to start. I personally think that if they're going to do start in their home ballparks, I don't know if the spring training will be as long as we think, because that comes into a little bit of boredom, you know, and that's where it could be more detrimental other than to the pitchers. I would think that you would probably have a situation where the pitchers probably report about a week beforehand, more like we see now. And then probably, you know, 7 to 10 days for regular players to get going before something starts. So I don't think it would take very long after an announcement to get everybody along. I mean, to be honest with you, the part of the training, or at least the time that you would have to allot for travel would probably be half the time that you would actually need to train. You know what I mean? So I don't think it would take very long. I mean, I'm also one of those conspiracy theorists, too, that think that we're probably closer to a plan than we think. And it's just going to be hitting the green button when they're ready to go. And I think that it started from day one to be worst case scenario. Let's just, you start from not playing at all to if we play to if it sits bad, this level up and this and this and this. I think they probably have a pretty good contingency plan to finally, when they say go, let's go. And it probably wouldn't take as much time as we think.
It might not. But again, and then just like every other thing, it's all contingent on the virus. I mean, right now, you know, states are starting to open up a little bit and the cases are declining across the country, but there's still a lot of them. And all it would take is, you know, I think Mark Saxon had it up in his, you know, mailbag from yesterday, but you know, this idea that, you know, pretty much if somebody gets it, you know, that has a possibility of shutting this whole thing down. Because if you quarantine that person, you're going to have to probably quarantine the whole team. And then how do you play? Do you sit those guys out for a while and try to let everybody else play? Or, you know, the other team has been exposed in theory. So then you got two teams sitting out. You know, well, we've talked about this a lot, but sure. It's still that idea that if something flares, and it could be flare even between, you know, in that spring training type of spot, you know, the whole thing go down that.
Sure. Well, I will say this. As of May 1st, I think that we cleared up a lot of those, many of those issues that would quarantine a whole team. And I think that that fear is less now than it was in the beginning. But I will say this, as far as a potential baseball season, I think these next 2 weeks are probably as critical as we've had. And that's probably going to be this phase one opening to make sure the numbers don't go up at all. If the numbers don't go up at all, I could see an announcement probably by that third week in May that things are probably going to happen pretty quickly.
Could be. I'm still hesitant. And let's go ahead and kind of shift around to this new plan that was announced. It was basically three divisions, in the West, the Central, and the East. You know, I think the only switch was Pittsburgh went out of the division the Cardinals would be in, and you add Atlanta, which is not exactly an even switch, but, you know, let's put that aside for right now. I'm still a little hesitant on this idea that of letting these teams fly around a little bit, especially, you know, when travel is still being somewhat restricted. But that idea that if somebody does get contained, you know, I know there could be kind of contained, but they're going to be in hotels and things of that nature. And if somebody does get exposed, and we've talked about this often, you know, the idea is they're sometimes more contagious before they have symptoms than after, you know, you could start spreading that around very quickly. And that's a real danger.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you more afraid, or are you more concerned about potential contagion you are than anything else? As far as a season restarting, as far as starting and stopping?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably my biggest thing is just, you know, not only having to stop it, but, you know, I think to some degree, if baseball is blamed for a flare up of this coming again, you know, because they've started playing, you know, that's a tough black eye to come back from.
Sure. I think they padded themselves or will pad themselves from that kind of liability, you know, and I don't know if that means they don't play at all, but I mean, that's how I get the feeling that they'll be pretty safe from the landmine that could happen with something like that.
Yeah. And I hope so. And probably so. It's just that, you know, there's that hesitation there because that's what we have been, you know, of course it's probably that way for everything, but you know, for the last, you know, 2 months, basically, month and a half at least, most everybody stayed put. I mean, not necessarily stayed in home, but they haven't been traveling, you know, to different states or different cities very often. You know, I don't feel like, I mean, some probably have, but for the most part, everybody's kind of,
sure,
you know, held their ground. And once you start getting anybody moving around on a regular basis, you start getting concerned. You know, I know Arkansas opened up their parks this a little bit this week, but they're still not open to out-of-state travelers because I think the idea is trying to keep it from spreading around different states. You know, it only can do so much, I mean, obviously. But,
yeah.
You know, when you look at things like that and then you start looking at, you know, the Cardinals going to hop to Chicago and, you know, then you go to, you know, Minnesota and then over to Kansas City. And yeah, you know, what do you think, even in some degree, what does the travel look like there? Do you play, Do you play more than a three-game set? Do you play like six games against the same team so that you're not traveling, or somebody's not traveling, every, you know, two or three times a week?
Yeah, it was funny when you wrote that this week. I thought back to the old Texas League days. They used to work like that. You know, the visiting teams would be in town for a week. And I was like, that, you know, it seemed like you'd watch them same team for a month, essentially, back then. And it really brought back a lot of those memories, and thought that was an interesting situation to where, you know, you could stay somewhere for a while and play elongated series. That's an option. I mean, to limit travel a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the plan would be on that. I like the idea of the more regional travel. I think you're playing it safer that way, but how much? I mean, I don't know what your percentage points would be as opposed to a flight across the states. You know, I don't know, but that's an interesting scenario, and that's the thing, is we're gonna see some weird baseball this year, and there's a part of me that's kind of excited about that.
I mean, it's definitely gonna be different. I mean, even if it, you know, opened up on June 1st, perfectly normal, you know, it would be different because we're not starting till this late. But it's obviously going to have a lot of different restrictions and a lot of different things that we're not going to see, haven't seen before. Hopefully, won't see again. But yeah, I think you know, again, we've talked a lot about the middle of the country is not as hard hit. I mean, you can go to Minnesota and you can go to Kansas City and you can, I guess, even go to Chicago. I don't know what Chicago's rates have been like, but those rates are not high. But, you know, I know New York's rates are falling, but still, that whole, you know, if you're playing that same kind of thing over there, all those teams going into New York, you know, at least once, maybe twice, because you're playing the Yankees and the Mets, you know, do you want to run that risk? Again, you know, like I said, it may not be as much for us, but over there, it's a little bit higher, you know, still probably, again, with the quarantine and, you know, you're going to the hotel, they're going to try to do everything they can, but, you know, it just takes one thing. I don't know. And again, I know that Governor Cuomo's talked about playing ball this summer, and maybe that's what they're going to do, but I just hope that baseball's really doing this. You know, I know that there's a need financially for them to get out there, but I hope they're being smart about this. I mean, you know, they probably are. They're probably going to do everything precautions, but, you know, I don't know what's worse. Getting two or three, you know, a month into the season and having to stop it, or not having it at all.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'm sure that's a big fear. I just feel like that they would know better than to make that decision, than to make a start-stop decision, but that may be way too optimistic.
You know, baseball has been known to make some stupid decisions. Let's just take all that stuff aside, though, and let's look at this idea. Because right now, this, I don't know if it's the most likely, but it feels like a little bit more likely. The Arizona, Florida, Texas plans, they had their benefits, but that's also a lot of logistics. At least this way, you're not even quarantining the players. They're going home to the hotels or whatever, but it's a little bit freer, and you know, they're going to different ballparks, so you don't have to have quite as much of a bubble. That's got its own problems, but so let's look at this. The Cardinals would be, like I said, in a division with all the American League Central teams, all the National League Central teams except for Pittsburgh, and then you get Atlanta. You got to kind of like the Cardinals' odds there, right? I mean, Atlanta's really the only team in that division that would make you think that the Cardinals could win it.
Yeah, I liked that lineup. You know, Atlanta's going to be loaded, and they're really good. And, you know, Chicago's going to be Chicago. But, I mean, I liked some of the idea of making a more regular trip to and from Minnesota to see some of those guys and to see more of, I still call it Comiskey, mm-hmm. You know, with the White Sox. And I thought that lineup was pretty cool. it's funny. We've been talking about this on the show since the beginning of the quarantine that, you know, the regional matchups would make a heck of a lot more sense because you could ease a lot of travel and whatnot. Now, I always said it is more playing within your division more than anything, be division heavy, then kind of go from there. But I don't know. I kind of liked it. I thought those matchups were exciting, and I agree with you. I think the Cardinals would have a pretty good chance in that type scenario, especially considering that I would assume that they're going to have to open up more teams for a potential playoff. I think that they want to. I think that there's some changes that are going to happen with this that gives them an opportunity to make changes that they had, and that's probably less National League style of baseball, meaning more DH, if not a permanent designated hitter, and an expanded playoffs. I think that those two are – I've resigned myself to both of those, and I think this is going to give them an opportunity to make a run at that.
Yeah, I mean, those things are definites for this year, and you're right. Once you get that foot in the door, you do wonder, especially with the DH. I mean, that's been, you know, I don't know that expanded playoffs, I know they're looking at them, and it may be that they use this as an opportunity to carry that into 21 and 22 or whatever. But yeah, I am very afraid that we've seen the end of pitchers hitting, which I know some people are like, oh, great. But I think that we lose a lot that way.
Sure.
But, you know, if you're going to do it this year with mixing the American League and National League teams, I mean, you have to do that just because it's the easiest way to do it. It would, you know, I've talked about it a lot. I know a lot of what we're talking about these days on the show is repetitive because
the nature of the beast. Not everybody wants to hear about my yard and my garden. You know what I mean? It's
you know, we'll get to that part later. You know, we save the good stuff for last.
Yes.
You know, I've been one that's talked about how I'd like to have this be as comparable as possible to past years and future years. I mean, does it do you any good to, like, when they're talking about the Florida, you know, plan, and you're going to be playing the Yankees and the Red Sox and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, three divisions out there, and is that kind of, you know, if you win that division, does that compare to winning the National League Central? And, you know, does that, you know, you win a World Series in 2020, are you going to be able to say, you know, hey, we won the World Series? Or is it going to be, yeah, but it was 2020? Which, I mean, there's going to be some of that anyway. But
sure.
The more you can have, quote, quote, real baseball, the better. I think it may be the closest thing you get for this year is this regional plan, because you are playing a lot of the same teams that are going to be in your division. So you're going to be playing, you know, you'll be seeing some of the same people. And, you know, like I said, best case, you know, unfortunately this way, could you still see the Cardinals and the Dodgers in the World Series, which would just be wrong? You could, but at least you have the chance and odds of a National League, an American League team being there. And, you know, if you go through a extra round of playoffs or expanded playoffs, then at least maybe you can argue that, yeah, it was 2020. It was a weird year, but when it mattered, our team had to face even more than normal and we won that championship. You know, I don't know, but this may be out of the plans that we've seen right now, depending again, now, are we talking about no mound visits and all that stuff? We haven't heard any of that stuff
sure.
anymore.
Yeah.
And it's going to get rid of those things, but this may be the best possible plan.
Yeah. It sounds like each one that we hear sounds a little more realistic. And this one makes a lot of sense. And there's an element of weirdness to it that I would like to see, and that the possibility that it could be two National or two American League teams in a championship series in early December. I don't know. I kind of like that. You know, I was thinking that this whole time that you know, we're going to be looking at some November baseball, and we've seen that before, but I thought, man, Thanksgiving baseball would be a lot of fun. And the idea that could happen, and then they thought with the idea that college football may start later due to some of the baseball stuff and due to getting some students on campus later and stuff like that. There's an excitement level to that. I'm like, oh, that could be pretty cool. I saw a proposal today from the Ohio High School Sports Association to where they're going to flip some of their fall and summer sports. I wish I would have had this brought up, where they're going to play baseball and softball. Well, softball in Oklahoma is played in the fall. I think that may be the situation everywhere, but I'm not certain. But they were going to play baseball and softball in the fall, and spring start in the spring, or football start in spring. And I was like, some of that stuff could be really interesting to see. And that could be situations of sports across the whole sports spectrum. We can see some changes and lose some of the traditional stuff that we've had that probably don't belong or should have gone a long time ago. Not saying that any of those things fit under that category. I just feel like this is going to be the reset button on this. We could see some pretty drastic changes on a lot of things. Now, to reel myself back in, though, one reason that I think the main reason that the designated hitter is coming is because we know it's coming. They've made it clear. They haven't really hid the fact that it's going to happen. Another reason they will give for this year for doing it, though, is the fact that they're going to have to keep so many pitchers, and pitching changes are going to be pretty regular. And I think that eliminates a lot of the pinch hitter scenarios that makes the game fun to me, and that you have to manage around that type of situation. I think that's the element of this one. There's going to be, three inning tops out of starters, maybe four, and we're going to see a ton of pitching changes within the innings and throughout the game. And it makes it a lot easier just to have the same guy in that spot. I think that's another reason that will happen. So I've resigned myself that's going to happen. I probably did it a couple years ago to where I thought, okay, I might as well start enjoying this because it's going to happen. I'm not saying I still enjoy or that I do enjoy it, but it's that the change is coming. You see some of the other writing on the wall that some of these other major changes are coming, and I was going to try to enjoy the oddness of this year as much as I can.
Well, like I said, the DH may be coming, but I'm not ever going to accept it. So that's just me, though. I'm going to, I'll fight on that one. If it actually mattered, I would still fight on it, but I don't think anybody's actually going to listen to me. It's not going to matter. But you're right. I hadn't really thought about that part of it, but you're right. And in the, not only the pitching changes, but taking that issue away from the managers right now too, with that idea that you got a starter that's gone 4 2/3, and he gives up a hit, and are you trying to get him through the fifth because he's batting the next, the bottom of the inning, pitch hit for him there or something like that? You don't have to worry about trying to add a few extra pitches or, worry about an inning blowing up on a guy in that regard, which is a big deal right now when you're, especially early on when you're still trying to condition those pitchers. So, maybe so. I guess there is that benefit, if you will, or another reason that they might give for that. I just think that, it's going to be interesting. It would be very, very interesting to see the Cardinals go up against the White Sox, a White Sox team that's very good this year. I mean, they got a lot of young players, and there's a concern there, and facing the Royals more often, I guess, would be good for the state and things like that. I guess. Atlanta, except for Atlanta. That would be about as south as you go as the St. Louis on them. So, I don't know. I'd give my preference, would it be, a normal situation and playing the normal division. But, if this is what you got to do to get some games, I don't think it's as crazy as some things. Like I said, early on, I think you had to, there's a line that you draw, and it's different for everybody. Where baseball's not really baseball anymore. And I think you could still argue that this is at least somewhat comparable.
Yeah, I think that anybody that listens to this that's still with us is would know that my enthusiasm has come leak by leak by leak, because I thought the bubble plan in Arizona, while it still was baseball, almost wasn't worth it. To where I'm like, man, I want to see sports as much as anybody. I mean, and it's funny, I've got a lot of anxiety in my life that I feel like because I don't have that the
outlet
Well, the outlet or the appointment viewing every night, you know, and checking scores and reading and stuff like that we have during the regular season. And I want those, and I missed them. But I didn't like the Arizona bubble situation. Now, when they did the spring training leagues, I thought, now that makes more sense because there's familiarity with it, and that seems like it's getting a little more real. Well, when Texas was involved, you thought, okay, well, now it seems like they're expanding the horizons a little bit here. You know, Texas has, you know, 20 ballparks, and that's just throwing out a number. I'm kidding, but that are feasible. And then you start thinking, okay, some of these states are opening up, and this and this and this. And this is the one that seems the most realistic to me. And I feel like this plan maybe evolves one or two more times, but isn't anywhere as severe as, say, Arizona or the spring training plan, which makes it much more feasible, I would say. You know what? One thing that I've thought about from the beginning, and then we talk about having a 100-game season. I really want to know how this plays into Mozeliak's patience. Because if you're going to win, you're not going to have a lot of time. You know, it's going to have to be the pull the trigger. Basically, the team that you, A, break camp with, and B, is on your travel squad, which is probably going to be what the minor leagues are going to be, that's it. I mean, that's what you've got. I'm not sure how much wheeling and dealing you're going to be able to do or how much player movement there will be. But I'm curious to see how that works because I think the competitiveness and some of the things that we've seen in the past, it's going to look quite a bit different. I mean, you may see a season where NFL type where you don't see many player movements. I would assume that's probably what we're going to get with baseball this year. Not a lot of player movement as far as between organizations. Now, I could see it, but all organizations, I could see them there being a lot of movement between the Cardinals and whatever travel club they bring, but I can't see a lot going in between teams. And I think that would be fun to watch. I think that would really test some of the pragmatic approach that some of these front offices have. And I would kind of like to, I would like to see that.
I think that, I mean, because you're right. I mean, you spend a month to 6 weeks just evaluating what you have.
Sure.
And you have to do that, especially in this situation. You got to figure out, you know, hey, is this a player that it really has to shake the rust off, has to get back into it? Is somebody, you know, where you're at? Well, now, after 6 weeks, you may be halfway through your season. You know, I mean, that. There may not, you're right, there may not be a lot of activity. Now, I will say, and I don't know that the Cardinals are one, but if a team wanted to be gutsy enough, I wouldn't be surprised if you couldn't get some significant bargains if you're willing to take on contracts. You know, if you're willing to take on the money, you may get a guy for a single A or double A player just because this other team needs to cut the salary. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And that's something I didn't figure. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. But the thing is there anybody that's going to want to take on that money? You know, there's the Arnando issue that we've talked about forever. And if the Cardinals are willing, I mean, I got to figure that the Rockies are going to hurt out of this quite a bit. And if the Cardinals were say, hey, we'll take 75% of that contract and we'll give you, you know, a single A catcher, they might do it. But I don't think the Cardinals would do that because I think they've got their own issues. You know, they've got, you know, the lack of money come in and the money they've paid out. Plus, you know, they're still having to pay on the stadium and Ballpark Village and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't have any idea what their cash flow is looking like, obviously, but I could see them definitely playing the short term and say, hey, we just can't handle this in the short term. Now, you know, maybe that would be the case, but I mean, somebody, you know, maybe the Yankees, although I'm sure they're having, like I said, everybody's having financial difficulties enough that I imagine nobody's going to want to take that on. But for something like that, if you were wanted to be gutsy and figure, or if you had a little bit more financial wherewithal, you know, you could get a situation where you could get a Mookie Betts. I'm not saying you, not him, but you know, that kind of player. You know, that we just saw the Dodgers give up three really good players for him. Well, it might only take one semi-good player if you're willing to take on the contract.
Yeah, that's a great point. I hadn't thought about that to see, there's and that there's a possibility that those kinks can happen quickly if a team gets buried because you can't really dig yourself out of it. So that's an aspect that I hadn't thought of.
Yeah, but again, it's just I don't know that anybody is kind of like Zach said today in a response on Twitter. You know, a lot of people going to be shopping contracts. There may not be anybody wanting to take any
offer. Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah. Speaking of contracts, we'll go ahead and shift to probably the biggest Cardinals story of the week, and that was the fact that Yadier Molina came out in an article and basically said, one, he wants to play for two more years, and two, it doesn't have to be with the Cardinals. It's still his preference and blah, 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 blah. But that's where we're at, which is a little bit different than what we heard, a year or so ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, but basically Yadi saying it's the Cardinals or nothing. And we knew he wanted to be extended. Does this change anything, do you think?
I don't know. My reaction to these is always, well, there's so many ebbs and flows that happen in these type of situations, and you hear every side, and it always seems like one of the downsides is this, when the player makes the comment of, I could probably play elsewhere, something that I was really hoping we wouldn't have to face with this one, but you still can't be surprised. And when I read it, I rolled my eyes. I was like, well, here we go. One of those things. And it's tough not to react to it. But I'm not certain that a whole lot changes. I'm pretty confident that he stays in St. Louis and they make that happen. I think there's probably going to be a situation where he stays in St. Louis, and it may be a situation where it may not be the best for the Cardinals, but it's a guy that you can't let walk, and we've seen DeWitt do that. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough not to overreact, but I try not to in these. But it's definitely just the way these things go. And the timing was I guess the timing's never perfect on him, but especially now when everything's at a standstill, it wasn't great to hear that in the state in how he said it.
Well, and it was interesting. I think John Mozeliak made a really good point, and that's that idea of, we have absolutely no idea what 2021 is going to look like.
Exactly.
We have no idea what our rate's going to be. We don't know what the, and so we really can't do much right now. I think that was very interesting in the article that Yadi had basically said, I think he was 50-50 on retiring. He thought this would be his last year. I thought that was a little strange because, he was looking for an extension to his free training.
Yeah.
and maybe he was saying that he was 50-50 if he didn't get an extension, that it was going to be his last year or something of that nature. But it's like, I can't imagine. I'm not sure. If the Cardinals had a regular full season and won the World Series, maybe Yadi would have retired. But I can't imagine many other situations where he actually would have. I mean, he just... That just doesn't sound like Yadi.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought the same thing. As far as playing two more years, I completely expected that to happen. I think we all did. And, I'm sure the weight of this situation that we're in right now, which is so outside the lines of what we're used to, I mean, I catch myself thinking some of the strangest things right now, too. You're fighting a borderline depression, and it's just, that change of pace. I would assume that some of these guys are blanketed because they have more money than they'll ever be able to spend, or their grandchildren will, and that's just not a concern. But it's funny, the line of thought and it's just bizarre how the timing worked out on this one a little bit. And you're right. That's my way of kind of dancing around saying that a 50-50 line that came out is bull. I don't know if anybody buys that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. 2 years is a lot. I wrote about Yadi, I think it was like day 8 or something like that of this whole thing, maybe early on. It was that idea of, what's this break? What's a year off? What does the gap look like for Yadi or Molina? Does it give him, is he recharged? Is he fresh to play, or is he, you know, it's one of those things that once you stop using something, you know, does it harder to get it back, especially at 38? I don't know. I can't imagine. Well, one, I think somebody, I can't remember who it was now. Maybe Ben Cerruti, replying to a message, you know, pointed out, I think that Yachty would have to go to free agency to get enough of a cut, because you can only cut, I think it's 20%. You know, if you're extending a contract, it can only be 20% less. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons Adam Wainwright went to free agency, you know, like
sure.
last year, was you couldn't offer him to that as little as you should have, I guess, if you went to. And Yachty, you know, Yachty's making $20 million this year. Yachty's not going to make $10 million next time. Shouldn't, I wouldn't think. So, you know, he may have to go to free agency in that regard. But, you know, if he actually, you know, went to free agency in an actual, I'm going to go get offers from other teams, I can't imagine he's going to get a whole lot. I mean, one, the free agency of this offseason is going to be frozen solid because of the fact that nobody's going to have any money. But two, again, he's an older catcher that's started to decline. And so we've seen that, you know, average, his bat is not league average right now. It's a little bit less. And the defense is still there, but it's not necessarily quite as much as it was. You know, I mean, it's fair to say he's lost a step. I think he might shoot me for that, but I wouldn't tell it to his face. But I think I think it's fair to say that. So, you know, what does that bring on the open market? I can't imagine. I mean, most likely, a contending team doesn't want to bring that on, especially because he's not going to play 130, 140 games for anybody but the Cardinals, probably. And does he want to go play for a Pittsburgh or somebody like that that's out of it? So they might play him for the nostalgia thing, or hey, look, we got Yadier or Molina. I don't know that he's got a really great leverage here.
Yeah. No, I agree with, completely agree with that. I mean, it's a match made in heaven for both of them. One, you keep that player that you're going to have maybe a statue of one day. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't really have that many other options. And it makes the most sense for both of them to do it. And so I don't know, you know, it's just odd timing. I don't know. It was weird, but you never know. I mean, it's, you know, what frame of mind he was when he said it. So, I mean, I don't know. It was strange all around. I can't see him playing for somebody else. I think that they would make that. I think they wouldn't do anything stupid, but I think that they would probably border on stupid to make sure that it doesn't happen. Get creative, I guess I should say. It's still the fact that it was a headline maker, and when there's no other headlines. So it's just an interesting time. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that was what made it so shocking, but it's still just kind of a weird timing on the whole thing.
Yeah, it's and I mean, again, I don't. Somebody pointed out it was probably his agent calling the reporter, and the reporter then calling Yachty, you know, because why else would a reporter that wasn't like Derek Gould or, you know, somebody local be talking to Yachty or Molina right sure. now? I mean, you know, but. You know, it's probably his trying to get some that leverage, but the Cardinals will probably pay Yachty 10 to 20% more than anybody else will. That just means that, but he, you know, he's not going to make what he made this year. He's not going to be making what he has been. They can pay him because he's got the intangibles. He's got the chance to be a lifetime Cardinal. He's got the fan base loves him, all that kind of stuff. Nobody else is going to pay for that. And again, I think Yachty, I think it was, maybe it was Brendan Schaefer that was talking about it on Twitter, where it's like, you know, maybe Yachty was getting a whole lot of the Marcelo Zuna feedback.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about it. We'll do it. And he's just trying to, you know, force a little bit of the issue. And maybe that's the case, but it's not going to do any much good right now.
Yeah, it's not like they can do anything about it right now anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they can't even sign him.
Crazy, yeah.
I bet they're very glad they didn't sign him in the spring. Because, you know, again, what does Yadier Molina look like at the end of this year? I mean, one, especially with doubleheaders, he can't play as many games as he normally does. I mean, he's going to play a little bit less, which maybe that could be good. I mean, he might have a resurgent year at the bat because he's not playing as much. But then, if you're John Mozeliak, do you say, okay, he's, you know, got a little life in him? Or do you look at it and say, he can only play 100 games. He needs all this rest to be effective. You know, is he willing to split time? Because that may be what it takes is for, hey, you can play, but Ender Kisner is going to play 40% of the time, you know, whatever. And you just have to deal with it.
I hope that's what they come up with, you know, something like that. And I think they'll have to. I mean, he's shown that he's played well after rest, but he's 38 and you know, Father Time wins. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great question. Great. I mean, it's one of those clouds that, you know, hopefully the enthusiasm that baseball is eventually back will kind of pummel this out a little bit, which I think it will. But it's going to linger.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, again, it's good that he said he hoped to work things out. And it's not a, you know, I have to have this done now. I feel like, you know, he even said, once we get all this, you know, pandemic behind us, and then we can, you know, talk about stuff like that. So I don't think that he's, you know, he's not slamming the door as he's walking out. You know, I think there's a real good chance that everything's going to work out fine. But, you know, one, there's not anything else to talk about. And two, you never know. I mean, we thought everything was going to work out fine with Albert Pujols, and
yeah, maybe, great point.
Maybe it did, but not the way we thought it was going to.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I guess you saw this is Albert Pujols weekend on the MLB Network.
I did see that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, a lot of games today. If probably too late to catch them by the time you see this, but a lot of games Monday too. I think maybe the game where he had the 600 home runs. I think they're replaying the game that first three homer game in Wrigley from 2004, which was just on I think Facebook Live, or they shared MLB.com had it last week, I think. A couple others. You can find the press release over at Cards Conclave, and you can see what games are going to be there. They're having an interview with him. So if you're interested in the Albert Pujols stuff, they're going to do that. I know Fox Sports Midwest next week is going to do the NLCS or NLDS, not the NLCS.
Yeah,
we don't want to watch
that. Really bad ratings.
Yeah, the three wins from the NLDS last year against the Braves. Plus, they have a thing, an interview or a little special about Yachty in the mix there too. We've talked about it before, but it really feels like now some of these stations are starting to dig into, I don't want to say classic games, but a little bit farther back. I mean, I just said that, you know, the Slashers NLDS, but, you know, we saw the Fox had 2006 World Series. We've seen some older games, you know, like I said, that 2004 game, that are still special, but not ones that, you know, that are still fresh in our memory. It's kind of nice to see a little bit of variety in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's they're kind of pulling out all stops just to keep it, keep everyone engaged and kind of keep everyone happy. And I kind of like to see them going back a little bit.
Yeah. We'll say on the pool stuff, and I don't know if it's part of their stuff today. I just saw a little clip and I did get to watch it with sound, on Facebook, but it was him and Harold Reynolds. And I guess they gotten videos. People had submitted videos of their, you know, like kids. I mean, like actual, you know, high school, maybe travel ball, stuff like that. Videos of them hitting or something. And it looked like Pujols was doing, you know, coaching and critiquing and stuff.
Awesome.
Like that. How cool would that be if yours was one of
those? Yeah, no doubt.
You know, you're getting, you know, basically free instruction from Albert Pujols on national TV. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I just saw a little bit of it, but it looked pretty cool. So we've talked about baseball coming back, and one of the issues that we talked about before, and we're not really going to talk about tonight, is, you know, MLB and the owners still have to, or the owners and the players still have to figure out the whole financial situation, or this idea that, you know, are the players going to have to take a pay cut because there's no fans in the stands? Because it still feels like, you know, at best you're looking at playoffs with a few people in the stands, but maybe not even that. One situation that I had not even thought about till today, and you sent me the link about it or talked to me about it, was the fact that the umpires were also in the same kind of boat, that there was some idea of trying to figure out, because MLB was trying to get them to take a cut, and they weren't really excited about that. Now, as soon as that story came out this morning, by this afternoon, there's an agreement was reached and everything's good. So that's great to know. But, you know, I'm sure the umpires didn't want to be the people holding baseball hostage to some degree, because that would be, I mean, nobody likes the umpires anyway, but it really wouldn't like the umpires after that.
Yeah. You know, we've seen a strike, umpire strike before, so they can be replaced pretty easily. But yeah, no one wants to get caught holding the bag here with money. I mean, that's it's going to be a terrible look. And I think that, that article coming out pretty quickly, which it obviously had been simmering for a little while, that you kind of seem like they were going to knock that out pretty fast, because no one wants to look like the cheapskates on the deal. And the umpires that definitely didn't want to get that, and it seemed like they won on the deal. But baseball, it's going to be walking on some thin ice right here. And it's, you know, just, I kind of worry about the finances with the players. So to see that this got knocked out as quickly as it did, I was glad. I was like, okay, so that's one thing we don't have to worry about to get this thing going back, which is going to take peel so many layers just to get back on the field. We really don't want it to stop with the finances, especially with the umpires.
Well, and I mean, in a situation where so many people have lost their jobs,
yeah,
and, you know, are just, I mean, it's what, 30 something million people on unemployment now or something of that nature, or maybe more. You know, but you can't in good conscience sit there and argue over, you know, not making an extra million or two, you know. And that goes for both sides. I mean, players and owners now, you know, I don't really think that the owners should be nickel and diming the players to death either. You know, I mean, you know, don't take advantage of the situation, but I understand that they also need some relief. We've talked about this. There's only so much money you can put out, and they're putting out a lot of money sure. right now for the fact they're not getting anything in. But yeah, it was really good to see the umpire thing get situated. It looks like they're going to take the pay cut, but they also had some guarantees. And it was interesting. You and I were talking about it beforehand, but if you haven't read the article by Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic, if you've got a subscription, which is a good thing to have, you really should, because the details about how things work with the umpires, you know, the fact that they get paid year round, which I didn't know. We just assumed that they were kind of like the players, so they got paid during the season, but they get paid year round. Some of the per diem things and the stuff like that. I just thought those kind of details were kind of interesting to find out.
Yeah, things that we never know. I didn't realize. I knew how hard it was to get into it. I know a couple of buddies that have gone to, I wouldn't really call them buddies, but guys that went to one of the Window Set camps to try to break out of college and to get into the pro rotation of some sort. And a guy that I grew up with was actually an official in an umpire in the Double A Texas League, and then he became kind of like an umpire scout that you go and watch some of these other guys that they feel could take that next leap. I didn't realize the money they made. I knew that it had to be substantial to get to do it, but I was kind of surprised about how the some of those entry level fees were where they were. I was like, man, that's pretty good living.
Yeah. But like the article says, you know, it's just like the players. If you're doing umping in the minor leagues, you ain't making anything.
No, yeah, that's true.
You know, and you're pulling up the debt to just like the players are, and except that, you know, I mean, I don't know what the minor league umpire like per diem and how that all works, but you know, like you say, umpire never gets a homestand. You know, umpire staying in a hotel room every night. Because that's just the way it is. And so somebody's got to pay for that. And usually it's them. And they were talking about like a 500, I think it's like right now, Major League Baseball has a $500 per day per diem for meals and hotel room. Well, I'm sure it's not like that for the minor leagues. You know, who knows what it is. Maybe that the minor, that the players unions, I mean, the umpires unions a little bit better about taking care of their minor league umpires, but they're still talking about umpires making only like $20,000, even at AAA. So you got to, you know, pay the dues and stuff like that. It's understandable. Plus the fact, if you're going to have to pay me to go out there and get yelled at by 40,000 fans tonight, it's probably going to have to be a pretty good price.
Yeah, you're constantly the bad guy. You know what I mean? It would be tough. I mean, it would that job would be really rough. I've always said. I mean, it's even doing it on a you know, little league and high school level, I knew that I was not cut out for that really quickly.
It's only a certain type of people, and the fact that, you know, we give umpires grief a lot, and sometimes they deserve it. But, you know, what, 95% of the time, probably they're right on a call or something. I mean, I think that's one of the things we've seen with replay is how often they are right. I think what replay has shown is, you know, a lot of times when they get overturned, it's by the by a eyelash or something that, you know, the human eye basically can't see. And that's an abuse of replay, in my opinion. And that's the interesting thing is, this agreement with the umpires allows MLB not to use instant replay this year. And I think it's very interesting that the umpires are the ones that are basically pushing instant replay. You know, it's this idea that you would think it would have been the other way around, right? That MLB would say, okay, we have to have instant replay. And the umpires are like, no, let's not do that. Is this agreement saying MLB saying, no, we don't have to use instant replay this year, which of course means that there's one less umpire that's getting paid for a game, because
it's true.
You know, it's a little one less job, but you know, still seemed a little bit strange from the perspective of where it was coming from.
Yeah. Would you miss it?
Would I miss it? Not at all.
I don't either. That's how I felt. I was like, I kind of, you know, talking pre-show, I was like, that kind of gets back. I was one of those that said, if you have the technology, use it. What I don't like is how it's been used. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing. I'm just like, well, I mean, you know, you get what you ask for, basically. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I would like to go back to the old ways, especially if it's going to be a season that we have, that we're anticipating that things are going to be different. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. Well, and it's the idea that if they do have to play at minor league ballparks, minor league ballparks don't have the
true
the cameras and things like that for it. So that gives them that option. You know, my feeling is on instant replay, and I think I've said this before, I don't like the fact that the manager can go to the review room and then decide if he wants to challenge or not. I think instant replay should be clear enough that the manager should be able to see it, or, you know, whoever can see it on the field. I mean, we're talking about one of the reasons we're talking about instant replay was, you know, the Galarraga perfect game, which was obvious, which, you know, the 85 World Series.
Exactly.
Obvious. I'm not worried about, did this guy's lace of his glove touch this guy's foot while he was a fraction of the, you know, bumped over the thing. I don't care about that. If that, you know, I want it to right obvious wrongs. I don't want to be doing the Zapruder film. So
yeah, exactly. No, I completely agree with that. And that's it's so frustrating to see the guys get ran for coming off the base, which completely goes against, you know what I'm saying? You're that athletic to beat that throw, that it's really tough. Like, you know, you basically cannot stay on. I wish they would. And what really burned me up last year is when the comment was made of how baseball is going to make some of these changes, and one of them may be a tacky base so they can stay on. And I'm like, man, if you have to do that, get rid of the cameras.
Right.
You know what I mean? To me, I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense, because that call is just so absurd anyway, because you just can't make it. And, you know, it's frustrating. So, no, I agree with you. I wish there was some way to do it for the obvious mess ups, but not to go and find something like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, again, if the manager had to make the call in 30 seconds without being able to consult the replay room, fine. Because one, you know, if you've consulted the replay room and you decide to challenge, you know, chances are it's, you know, you've seen something that, and then obviously that doesn't always work, but for the most part, and it's like, but you know, at least if nothing else, an umpire's like, man, I think he was safe. You know, well, I mean, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, you know, we'll find out. I mean, I think there's a little bit of drama there, but, you know, when we see the replay 15 times before the umpire,
yeah,
you know, it's like, okay, well, maybe if you frame it, you know, freeze frame it here, maybe. I just, like I said, if it's not clear from naked eye that it's a wrong call, then I don't think it needs to be used.
Yeah, that's, I'd love for there to be some standard set on that.
Yeah. And I have less of an issue, I think, with is it fair or foul? Is it a home run or is it not? You know, that kind of stuff. Because that's the first, I don't know if you remember, the first ever use of replay was a Cardinals, I believe it was Cardinals Marlins game, where the umpire went to instant replay to see if a ball had left the ballpark, if it was a double or a home run. This was a couple of years before replay was an actual thing. And there's actually some grief about it at the time of why did he get to do that? You know, he shouldn't have been able to do that, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, for that kind of thing, I'm fine with that.
Sure.
Especially a home run. You know, if a home run double, let's run it. Sure. If you can do, cause you can do that pretty quickly and see. But things on the bases and, you know, again, if it's not clear, you know, and I think instead of instant replay there, I just would rather the umpires, you know, be able to overturn each other a little bit more, you know, and say, look, dude, you missed this,
you know,
that kind of thing. But anyway, but I'm always, you know, an old stick in the mud anyway, so that's not surprising. Oh, me. All right. We've gone about an hour. We didn't get to the thing we talked about last week. It will probably, we'll get to it one of these
weeks. Thing to get news, I think, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of glad about that.
I mean, ranking again, if you've got opinions on ranking postseason games, I think, you know, the Cardinals have been in, feel free to drop us a note. Let us know. One of these days, we'll probably do a little draft of those games and see how that works. But yeah, we'd rather have a few things to talk about, even if it feels like sometimes we're talking about the same thing over and over again. It's always got a little bit of a different flavor and a little bit of different addition to it with how things are going. And Alan, like I say, with the states opening up a little bit, you know, you and I were talking beforehand about, you know, Oklahoma's got a few things going now. Arkansas's got to kind of start with some stuff in the next week or so. This may be, like you said, a really important couple weeks, because if cases start to even creep back, I don't think they have to spike, but even if they start creeping back up, that's going to give some pause to doing something.
Yeah, I would think before the 15th, we will find out a lot as far as any kind of organized sports go.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll come back at you probably next week and seeing how things are. But until then, that is Alan. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.